Alrighty, our speaker today is Cindy, and she will explain her topic. Take it away, Cindy.
Thanks. This was sort of a last minute thing. I'm a speaker getter and I couldn't get one. And I thought, well, I can do it. I'll let God, just show me what I'm gonna say. And so I've been reading in the AA 12 and 12 with one other fellow, and we just happened to be on step four. But what I really want to talk about is about our instincts. Some of the things that were written in here were just really eye-openers for me, and I really was I really, for some reason, God has been bringing to my attention how much my instincts have been kind of twisted in order to protect me because of things that happened in my childhood. And I'm still just as driven by that as when I was a child, and I don't even realize it. At the beginning of the reading, it says creation gave us instincts for a purpose. Without them, we wouldn't be complete human beings. If men and women didn't exert themselves to be secure in their persons, made no effort to harvest food or construct shelter, there would be no survival. If they didn't reproduce, the earth wouldn't be populated. If there were no social instinct, if men cared nothing for society or one another, there would be no society. So we can see that we need instincts. That's why we have them. And then the next paragraph says, yet these instincts, so necessary for our existence, oftentimes subtly, they drive us, dominate us, and insist upon ruling our lives. And man's natural desires cause him great trouble, practically all the trouble there is. Nearly every serious emotional problem can be seen as a case of misdirected instinct. And when that happens, our great natural assets, the instincts, have turned into physical and mental liabilities. And an example of that, I went to Germany and I visited my grandchildren, and my granddaughter, who's eight, was digging herself into a hole, and I could see it, and I was getting triggered by it. She was being really smart alecky, and accusing and just really not being nice. And my natural instinct, where I go because of what I learned as a child, is to act just like her and get mad back and think, I need to control this. I need to control her. I need her to stop it. She needs to see how wrong she is, you know. And fortunately, it wasn't directed at me. Whatever was going on wasn't directed at me. It was directed, I don't know, at her mother or her sister, I don't know. And I went to my room. I just left, went to my room and stayed there. And the minute I was off by myself, it was like God said, do you see? Can you see in the mirror? Can you see yourself? Do you remember feeling like this? You can't stop. You can't give up. You have to be right. You know it's only going to get bad. You know if you don't back down, it's going to not be good for you. But you can't. You just can't. And exactly that feeling, I had that feeling with my grandchildren. I needed them to behave. And I needed to be, I wanted my daughter to discipline them or whatever, but I felt that need myself. A couple times during the trip, my daughter said, Mom, I'm here. I don't need you to say anything to them. I am handling it the way I want to handle it. And I mean, I knew that because we've been through it before, but my big mouth would just go before my brain would would check in. So what happened when I went down in the basement was, oh gosh, I know exactly how she feels. And that is such an awful feeling. You know that you're just digging a hole and you just can't back down. And I just began to have such compassion for her and compassion for myself as this person I am that has to be controlling. And it was just like a miracle. And here it was my need for security, my need for safety. I just needed this to stop. And it says by discovering what our emotional deformities are, we can move toward their correction. Without a willing and persistent effort to do this, there can be little sobriety or contentment for us. Without a searching and fearless moral inventory, most of us have found that the faith which really works in our daily living is still out of reach. Well, when God intervened by opening my eyes, I was able to have compassion for her. And I was able to talk to her later and say, boy, I know how you felt. I feel like that. I can't let go when I'm in the midst of that. And she was comparing herself to her sister. And I said, you know, what I've learned is that comparing is always, it always makes you unhappy. And I said, it's hard not to compare yourself, but really it's just useless. And it makes you unhappy. And we were able to really connect on a great level. And she was able to let go, and I was able to love her and give her hugs and, not correct her in any way. And later the next day, her mom told me that she told her mom, oh, Gigi told me not to compare. Apparently somebody was comparing. And she said, and I think that's right. And I was just blown away. Wow, So later in this part, it says, how frequently we see a frightened human being determined to depend completely upon a stronger person for guidance and protection. This weak one failing to meet his life's responsibilities with his own resources never grows up. Disillusionment and helplessness are his lot. And I really can relate to that. Even when I'm praying to God, I'm saying, God, help me do this. I'm still looking outside of myself for the answers. I'm not, and God's inside myself. My higher power is in here. And I can trust that it's in here. I don't have to be begging for God to show me. He's already showing me, but I'm so busy holding on with this tight fist that I can't let go and back down. Then it says later, we also see men and women who go power mad, who devote themselves to attempting to rule their fellows. And that is definitely me. Whenever a human being becomes a battleground for instincts, there can be no peace. Every time a person imposes his instincts unreasonably upon others, unhappiness follows. And later in here, it talks about being the kind of person who deals with their stuff with depression and frustration. And that it says we have drunk to escape the guilt of passions. We've drunk to make more passions possible. We've drunk for vainglory, and it's a soul sickness. And it says if we are temperamentally on the depressive side, we're apt to be swamped with guilt and self-loathing. And boy, that is totally me. As we morbidly pursue this melancholy activity, we may sink to such a point of despair that nothing but oblivion looks possible as a solution. And here, of course, we have lost all perspective and therefore all genuine humility. For this is pride in reverse. And that has been my thing, my particular bent of how I handle things. I feel guilty. I think I'm a terrible person. I lose all my perspective. But here it was, just in those few seconds, just deciding to excuse myself and give God a chance to just calm me down. And right there, it was my not mine, but that was the thing of removing blocks, removing the blockages. I couldn't do it. All I could do is what I've been told to do, and that's pause. And then the truth came in and humbled me totally. There's so much in this 12 and 12. It talks about that's one kind of person, and that is me. And then there's the person who is inclined to self-righteousness. That's also me. Hate to say it. But we all have different ways that it comes out and shows itself. And I'm so grateful. I don't always see the opportunity to go pause and for it to happen as that kind of thing where it comes right away and I can see, oh, okay, and I can feel that compassion, and it just takes away my trigger totally. I just lost my train of thought. I get in the way when I try to figure everything out. That's what I was going to say. That doesn't work. I can't go to my head to get the answers. I've got to go to my heart. I've got to go to my p higher power and listen and stop thinking. Thinking, it goes in and just circles around. And when I see that I'm in that circle, I need to call somebody. Or I need to get quiet and just recognize that this is happening and that this isn't going to work. It isn't going to help. I'm not going to figure it out by doing that. And that's my old, you better do that or you're going to just be in trouble. So I see that my time is almost up. I see that there was a third thing that this 12 and 12 said about our present anxieties. Here's the third kind of way we can deal with it. Our present anxieties and troubles we cry are caused by the behavior of other people who really need a moral inventory. We firmly believe that if they'd treat us better, we'd
Two
be all
minutes,
right.
Cindy.
Thank you, Terry. Therefore, we think our indignation is justified and reasonable, that our resentments are the right kind, and we aren't the guilty ones, they are. And so I can see myself in all three of these different adaptations to how I handle my instincts and how my instincts are triggered and what my instincts try to tell me when that happens. And expectations are a huge part of it, thinking how other people should be. And I get myself in trouble. And if I can just recognize that I have those expectations, then I can take them to God, and he can kind of redo my me. I think that's all I have to say. I was just really hit by these readings, and I hope somebody felt the same way I did. So thank you for giving me this opportunity, and that's all I have.